I remember when I was in college and on my first mission trip in Taiwan. This was actually my first trip in Asia at all. And I was brushing my teeth outside because that's where the sink was. And at some point, a giant flying bug about this big is just right in my face. I have never moved so quickly in my life. I was like Neo from the Matrix. And I'm scared of that stuff. And on Friday, I was just telling Pastor Rim, I had my very first run-in with a rodent problem in my apartment. I came home after teens group and do what I normally do, which is get on my computer and play some video games. And as I was getting ready to go to sleep, I heard the like, and I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then a few minutes later, corner of my eye, I see this black blur just right into my coat closet. I'm sure you guys have never seen or heard me shriek or jump, but I can guarantee you I did it twice on Friday. Once when I first saw it, and the second time when I tried to find it and saw it again. It moved so fast, I swear, it was like the superhero Flash, where it's just that streak of color. I don't even know what it looks like. I just know that it's really dark in color and very quick. And so now I live in fear of whatever that rodent is doing in my house. Fear that I may get some kind of disease, or that it's going to eat all my food, that there's going to be droppings. Fear. We all have our own fears. Whether they're rational or not, whether the threat is real or not, many things cause our hearts to be gripped by fear in this life, whether it's a rodent or whether it's something more serious. But the Christian life should not be marked with fear. And this morning we want to turn to God's word to see what he says about fear. But before we continue, let me pray for our time here this morning. So would you come and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you and we praise you for who you are. Father, we thank you for gathering us here this morning as one body to praise you, to worship you. Father, as we come before you this morning, as we gather together to study your word, we ask that you would be with us, that your spirit would be in us and working in us to illuminate your word to us, that we might understand, that we might know, Father, that we might hear from you this morning. God, I ask that you would be with me as I speak. Father, that the words that you've given me are your words and not mine. Father, that I would explain the text clearly. Father, that I would preach faithfully. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. And so again, we are in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. So if you've not already turned there, please do so that you can follow along in God's word this morning. Starting in verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And to give you a little bit of context for this passage this morning, this passage follows Jesus feeding the 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And John 6:15 tells us at the end of his account that the crowd tried to seize Jesus in order to make him king. And so now it makes sense why Jesus sends his disciples away immediately and withdraws himself, sending the crowd away in order to stop this, as this is not the outcome that God has called him to come to earth for. And so turning back to the text, we see that he sends his disciples away ahead of him, implying that he will join them later, and then withdrawing himself from people in order to spend time in solitary prayer. And while not really the point of this passage, I do want to say we need to follow Jesus' example here, and we need to spend time in prayer. It's highly important for our own walk and in building that personal relationship with Jesus. And so again, I just wanted to mention that, but as we continue, Matthew turns our attention now to the disciples, who are heading across the sea to the other side, and we're a long way from the land. All the while, they are in the midst of a storm, fighting strong winds while their boat is being beaten by the waves. And all of a sudden, they see something, or rather, someone. And he's walking on the water. And when the disciples see this person walking on the water, in the storm, they become terrified. And they cry out in fear, "It's a ghost." And so it's easy for us to read this verse, to read this passage and laugh because we know what happens next. We know that it's Jesus. We know that it's not a ghost. But try to put yourself in the place of the disciples. It's somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., and this is what the fourth watch means, is the time between 3 and 6 a.m. And you're rowing a boat, trying to get across a sea that's several miles of distance between shore to shore, while fighting a storm with strong winds and waves. And you've never seen anyone walk on water, let alone have heard of anyone walking on water. You know how people work. They can't walk on water. That's impossible. And yet, here comes this figure in the dark, illuminated only by the soft glow of the moon, standing on the waves, standing firm in the wind, coming toward you. You better believe that you also would cry, "Ghost." You would also be terrified. And fear is a powerful thing. It's crippling. It leaves us hopeless. It can bring even the strongest person down into nothing. And fear is all around us. In every aspect of our lives, fear eats at us. And it makes us think and do things we would never have thought we would do. Fear is seeing the worst possible outcome and believing that that is true. And in this light, fear then is the opposite of faith. And when it comes to our walk with Christ, when we have fear, it eats at our faith. It cripples it. It brings it down. And we begin to do things that are counter to the faith that we have claimed. If we fear men, we begin to care more about what they think of us instead of what God thinks of us. We begin to prioritize opinion over faithfulness. We begin to fear sharing the gospel when we lose sight of the great commission that God has tasked us with. We no longer make disciples. And when we fear failure, we begin to idolize success. We begin to idolize work rather than seeking first the kingdom. And whatever fears we have, whatever they may be, people, family, relationships, loneliness, depression, failure, sickness, poverty, whatever these failures and these fears may be, fear is powerful. And it makes us act contrary to who we are. It makes us act contrary to who we've been called to be. And fear was so powerful for the disciples that they forgot they had just seen Jesus feed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And now think that this is a ghost instead of Jesus. And if there's fear in your life, God has a word for you this morning. Because as the disciples were crippled with fear, terrified at the sight of Jesus walking on the water in the storm in the darkness of night, he calls to them, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." And so this is our first point this morning. If you're taking notes, do not be afraid. And now, while our Bibles translate, "It is I," in Greek, it's more accurate to say that Jesus said, "I am." He's not simply saying, "It's okay, it's just me, it's Jesus." He's saying, "Have courage, I am God. Stop being afraid. And this is the same phrase and name when Moses asked God, what do I say to Pharaoh when I tell him to let the Hebrews go? Who do I tell him is sending me? Who do I tell the Hebrews who don't trust me, who don't know me? Who do I tell them is sending me? And God replies, tell them I am who I am has sent you. And in this moment, Jesus sees the fear in the hearts of the disciples. And he says, stop being afraid. I am God. I am Yahweh who brought your ancestors out of Egypt. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am your creator who has known you since before you were born. I am the one who knit you in your mother's womb. I am. Do not be afraid. And this command and encouragement is repeated over and over and over again throughout all of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. Fear not. Do not be afraid. As Christians, we have no reason to be afraid of anything in this life because we know Jesus. We know who is in control. We know who guides us and leads us. We know who has defeated sin. We know who has saved us from our sin. We know who has reconciled us back to the Father. And we know who has overcome the grave and defeated death and who now sits at the right hand of the Father, reigning eternally forevermore. We do not have to be afraid because we know who Jesus is. And we know his promises to us in his word. And so this morning, God, his word to you, I don't know who needs to hear this, but I'm sure there's at least one. Do not be afraid. I am. We cannot expect to live out our faith in boldness. We cannot expect to extend the kingdom. We cannot expect to do anything that God has called us to do if we live in fear. And so do not be afraid, because Jesus has promised us in his word that he would be with you and I until the end of the age and forevermore. And so at this, Peter recognizes Jesus, and we don't know his motivation, but he calls out to Jesus and he says, my Lord, command me to come to you on the water. And so Jesus responds, come. And so hearing that word, he goes. He steps out of the boat and onto the water in faith. And he walked to Jesus. But then he felt the wind and he saw the waves and he became afraid and he began to sink. And as he is sinking beneath the waves in the storm, cries out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus puts out his hand and pulls Peter above the waves, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Man, I love when the Gospels highlight Peter. Matthew just described how the disciples are terrified and struck with fear, believing that Jesus is a ghost. But Peter's response, when he lets them know that it's Jesus, he says, Lord, tell me to come walk on the waters with you. And so I love reading about Peter because I admire Peter's boldness, his faith in what he can accomplish if Jesus is there with him. And my first thought, you know, when I read this passage, it would never be to say, wow, Jesus is walking on the water. I bet I can too if he tells me to walk on the water with him. And as I reflected on the passage this week, I really felt that I would have reacted exactly the same as the disciples, if not worse, based on my run-in with this rodent. And while I love to read about Peter's boldness and his passion for Jesus, I also love to read about Peter because he's just like me. The moment he takes his eyes off of Jesus, He completely forgets everything else. He only sees the circumstance. He only sees the winds, the waves. He forgets Jesus. He forgets that he has called him onto the water. And his faith wavers. And while I wish I had the boldness of Peter to say, Lord, call me to come out to you, and I will. I all too well know exactly what happens when Peter loses focus of Jesus and begins to sink beneath the waves. And I'm sure this isn't just me, but everyone in this room. How often we take our eyes off of Christ, only to forget the incredible work that he's done in each of our lives. Our fears, our anxieties, our circumstances, the weight of the world, the pressure from work, from family, from school, they are like the raging waves and the torrential winds of the storm, and they beat against our boat. And when we lose sight of who Christ is, and when we focus on all these other things, we forget who is the one who called us out. We forget the one who empowers us to walk on the waves above the storm. We forget the one who has done great things in our lives. And so this leads us to our second main point, and our second and main point today. Let's focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. And I preached a little bit about this in my last sermon, and Pastor Rim has mentioned it throughout this current series and with his first sermon in Matthew 6:33. Focus on Jesus. Jesus is the one that saves, not anything else. You see, Peter's faith was strong when he boldly stepped on that water because Jesus called him. His faith was set on Jesus. Jesus was the object of his faith. But the moment he stopped focusing on Christ, his faith wavered. The object of his faith shifted from Jesus to his own strength. And our faith is only as strong as the object we place it in. And so when we place it in our circumstances, when we place it on the things we see, it's not going to be very strong. Because those things are in constant flux. They are ever changing. They go up and they go down on a whim. But Jesus, he does not change. No, Jesus is the same then, as he is now, as he will be forevermore. Amen? And so, focus on Jesus. Make Jesus the object of your faith, because when he is the object of your faith, Jesus is going to call you to do incredible things for the kingdom. And I don't mean walking on water. I don't even mean great in our world standards. But he will call you to lead people to him. He will call you to be his hands and his feet. He will call you to be a reflection of his love to this world. He will call you to love those who are not loved. He will call you to love those that hate you. Something that we could never do on our own. And it was only when Peter lost sight of Jesus that Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." Because his faith focused on something other than Jesus. So focus on Jesus. And our final point for this passage is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Look with me at verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The disciples, after seeing Jesus feed the 5,000, and then seeing him walk on the water in the midst of the storm, and then calling Peter out and empowering him to stand above the waves with him, and then rescuing him from sinking and drowning, and now stepping onto the boat, and immediately the storm subsides. No longer a veil of water and wind, but tranquility. And they recognize that this is God, and they worship Him. But not only is Jesus the Lord over creation, He is the Lord over our lives. Look at the beginning of this passage again at verse 22. And note that it says that Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side. And so Jesus knew that the storm was coming. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. And intentionally sent His disciples away in this manner. And if you look at the parallel passage in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, starting in verse 45, you can see that Jesus meant only to pass them by. He only stops because they cried ghost when they see Him. And so He orchestrated this whole thing in order to test His disciples. Again, these disciples had just seen Him feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's not even a meal for a family. And yet He's feeding 5,000. They had just seen this. And so if you're a Christian and your faith is placed in Jesus Christ, you better believe that He will intentionally put you through hard things. Through difficult situations. Not so that we will fail, but so that we will grow. His disciples moved from fear to worship. Peter stepped out in boldness, but learned to keep his focus on Jesus. God can and will put you through hard things, not because He hates you, but because He loves you. And He wants you to grow. He wants to show you how mighty He is. He wants you to learn to rely on Him to empower you to stand on the waves and in the storms of this life. Because when we rely on our own strength, we see how great the storm is and we begin to sink beneath the waves. But when we begin to sink, do not forget to call upon Jesus, because He is the only one who saves. I really love hymns, and so thank you, Nick, for the set this morning, because it was mostly hymns. And I don't know all the hymns. There's way too many, obviously. I don't even know that many, if I'm being super honest. But I want to close today's sermon by reading a hymn to you that was published in 1787 by an unknown author known only as K. Published over 230 years ago, it is one of my favorite hymns, and it is called How Firm a Foundation. And I think that it captures the message of this passage very well. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with you. O be not dismayed, for I am your God and will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call you to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with you, your troubles to bless, and sanctify to you your deepest distress. When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you. I only design your dross to consume, your gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to His foes. that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never, no, never, no, never forsake. And so I'm not really big on altar calls, even though I'm a Baptist, but man, when I was writing this message, I really felt that God tugging at my heart. And I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but come to Jesus. If you're on the fence, if you're seeking, if you have questions, if you're not sure, if this is your first time in church, but if God's word has tugged on your heart this morning, do not delay. Come to Jesus. Make today the day that you commit your life to Christ, that you make him Lord and Savior. You can come talk with me or Pastor Rim or Elder Stan or Dan. You can talk to many people. But Jesus is the real deal. He is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God among us, God with us. And he came to be the perfect substitute for you and I, for the punishment that we deserved for our sin. And he offers us salvation. Or maybe that's not you at all, and maybe you are a believer, but if you're being honest with yourself, you haven't been focusing on Jesus lately. Maybe you've lost sight of him who has called you. Whatever the case, if you feel like you're drowning in the storms of this life, if you feel like your feet are failing beneath you, if you feel like you're at the end of your own strength, come to Jesus. Call upon his name, for he is the only one who is truly able to save. Let us pray. Father, may we focus on Jesus. Through all the storms and the waves and the winds of life, may Jesus be our anchor. May he be the one that holds us up, that keeps us grounded. Father, may we not be afraid. May we live out our faith in boldness because we know that you are with us. Father, we pray as we go about the rest of this Sunday, as we continue to worship you in song and in offering and in fellowship, may you be with us. May your Spirit continue to guide us and lead us. We pray all these things in your name.